Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm back home in the Pacific Northwest, at least for a few hours, before I end up going to New York City. Yes, that's going to be tomorrow. But today, I'm right here in studio, and oh, it is just gorgeous outside. Who would think that on such a gorgeous day that we'd be talking about apparitions, shadow people, wandering spirits? Woo! Well, it's the month of October, for heaven's sakes. Why not? This is an interview today that I think we're all going to enjoy a great deal. Constance Victoria Briggs is my guest. Her book is The Encyclopedia of the Unseen World. Hi, Constance. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, you are a researcher into the paranormal. You have been writing about metaphysical, spiritual, and paranormal events and people. What was it that got you interested in this topic? I think it's absolutely marvelous, and I think most people are curious about it, especially if they've had their own experiences. But how did you get into this stuff?
You know, Donna, I am one of those people in life that just seems to attract very interesting experiences. I started being interested in this years ago, as early as the age of 14, when I had my first vision.
Oh.
Yes. And at that time, I knew nothing about these sorts of things. I knew nothing about angels, nothing about apparitions, out-of-body experiences. I was completely green. And I found myself one day very ill and lying down, and I saw, to make a long story short, I saw what looked like a cloud of swirling smoke or swirling before me.
Mm-hmm.
And when it opened, it dissipated, and before me stood a being. I thought I was hallucinating, and I didn't move, I didn't act, I was just fascinated. I can remember, and this was many years ago, I can remember this person, this being, as if it were yesterday. He was standing before me, and as we typically hear, he was wearing a long white robe.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked very concerned about me, and he was holding out his hand as if to ask me to come. I didn't move. I still thought I was hallucinating, and he eventually faded away. That experience led me on what I call the beginnings of my spiritual journey into learning and understanding about the other side and what else there is to this world besides just the physical and just seeing, you know, the here and the now. As I grew, I had more experiences, but I think that the most profound experiences came when I was in my 20s. I started having out-of-body experiences, and I had some sort of interaction going on in my apartment with an unseen person. With all of these things going on in my life, of course, I had started research trying to find answers and trying to connect the dots. Finally, what made me write this book was when my father passed a few years ago, and he made every attempt from the other side to contact me. And I thought at that time I needed to put into one volume all of these amazing and wonderful and interesting facts and stories that I had uncovered.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so much fun to go through your book, The Encyclopedia of the Unseen World. And the reason I think it's a good book, especially if someone's just beginning in this, in the understanding or exploration of the mind and the paranormal, is that you've not made it complex. You go by the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then you have things categorized accordingly. So it makes it easy for people to flip through, and you don't get too intellectual about it. You keep it very direct, very simple, but I think it's sort of a tickler if someone picks it up and they've not been aware of these variables. Just like you said, you had your experience. I can remember years ago I had my experiences, and there really wasn't much published. And of course, today we've got a plethora of stuff that's out there. But many times it can be very overwhelming. And your book gives what I call a coffee table sample. Mm-hmm. And so if someone wants to take it further, they've got very good reference points to work with. How long did it take you to put together your material?
2 years.
2 years.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
From
the time I started compiling it to the end, 2 years. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a couple of... Oh, excuse me, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to just say it was from years of research, but the actual compiling the information and writing it took 2 years.
Another component I like is that you mention the names of people that have been recognized publicly for what they have done. And of course, there's always controversy. There's always going to be people that if they've never had an experience, it's very difficult to relate. It's like having a tooth pulled. If someone has never been through it, they say, it's nothing, it's a piece of cake. Well, that may be your feeling, but after sitting in a dentist chair for 3.5 hours, that may not be my feeling. So it's very much the same. You've had very personal experiences, and in my life and the interactions with many, many people I have crossed paths with, listening to the stories, they are as varied as individuals are. And that's what I love about being involved in the work of mind and in the psychic area, because the diversity is phenomenal. And that's, again, another good point of your book. Let's talk about the ADC, and this is right at the very beginning of your book, the after-death communication project that was headed by Bill and Judy Guggenheim. Tell us about that project. You mentioned it in your book, but tell us what happened and what they were able to accomplish with this project.
Bill and Judy Guggenheim were able to compile a number of experiences. I like to think of them as pioneers a bit in this, even though there had been a lot of experiences already, you know, out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that their book was one of the first to really, I think, grab people's attention. One of the first, I mean, there were many, as to let people know that they weren't perhaps the only ones experiencing this phenomena, that there were a lot of people out there who experience apparitions and have communications with the other side on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And,
That's true.
Yeah, I would love to have had the opportunity to actually meet them. Unfortunately, when you're working and writing, you can't meet everyone, but I certainly would have loved to have just sat down and had a conversation with them and, you know, talked more in depth about their research.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring out something that I very rarely hear people talk about, and in your book, you mention it. It's the electronic voice phenomena, AAEVP. And this is an educational association, and they want to investigate the paranormal communication on audio and video recording equipment. And I had a personal experience with that many years ago with someone that had a consultation with me, and there was a man's voice that overlapped on it, and this woman said, she was astonished. She could hear this person's voice very, very clearly, and eventually it disappeared where it wasn't on the tape. And this is something Thomas Edison tried to research as well.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because you mentioned that in your book.
The electronic voice phenomena is something that I feel lends some of the most incredible evidence to there being life after death. We have an association here that has the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena that has taken the time to go out and do the research, and they have many, many, many voices and pictures even from on video of spirits or souls or whatever your word is for them, you know, your public that we're speaking with, everyone has their own word, of these people from the other side trying to communicate information to us to let us know that they are alive and well and have a life in another dimension. And what's interesting is that these recordings have been going on since the early 1900s, when, you know, things first came into the fore of, you know, communications and cameras
right.
and things, all the way to today. And it can be done. What's interesting is it can be done by anyone. It can you can have a regular tape recorder, or you can have more sophisticated equipment, what have you. And you can get, if you work hard enough, it may take some time. You can pick up someone's voice from the other side trying to reach you. One of the most interesting stories I've heard was about a mom whose daughter had been killed in a car crash, and she was desperate to get some information from her, and she had heard about this method, and she she would record at night until finally she did pick up her daughter. And she started doing this on a regular basis, to the point where even one day when she was out, her daughter had apparently come through, and she had her on tape saying, "Where's Mom? Where's Mom?" So, for me, that was part of the most exciting research, because when I have skeptics speaking with me, and they're saying, I don't believe any of this, it's all made up, we can actually send them to the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena and show them, and they can hear it, and they can see pictures of people communicating from the other side.
It's really fascinating, and I think that most people I've encountered have had experiences that they don't often want to share with too many others because they don't want anybody to make fun of them.
Right.
And yet, it is so important to be able to share and to not be ridiculed. And then you find how many people would say, "Oh, I'm so glad you said something about that, because this happened to me and I just don't know what to do with it." I was having a conversation just yesterday with a friend of mine who is a natural medium, and she sees all kinds of things, and she's just very upset over all of it. And she loves to talk to me about it, but she doesn't want anybody else to know about it. And it bothers me. I've known this woman for years. And I said, "You just need to be comfortable with it." She said, "I don't like it." I said, "Well, that's okay. You can learn how to be comfortable with it and not be afraid of it, because there's something instinctively that she feels." And I think a lot of it is something that she was raised with when she was growing up. But she's never been comfortable with it. And actually, these things that you bring up are so much more common than it's often acknowledged as being. Would you agree with that?
I certainly do agree with that, and I would like to say to anyone out there who's having these sorts of experiences that you are not alone. There are many people that have them on a daily basis, people who have the natural inclination of being a medium and people who do not. If you have a loved one or a friend from the other side that wants to communicate with you, they can. You don't have to be a medium. You don't have to be a medium to speak with an unseen person. You can feel them. Sometimes you may get a scent that, for example, maybe your mom, for example, that wore rose perfume, and you get this whiff of perfume, and you say, "Oh, my goodness, that's what my mother wore. Perhaps she's around." You can get these feelings and these impressions in all sorts of ways, but you're not alone. You know, I was talking to one of my children's teachers once. My daughter's in elementary school, and she was told that I was involved in this research, and she came to me. She said that there was a time when her father had passed, and she was very upset and grieving daily, like most of us do. It's perfectly natural. But to the point where her father felt the need to reach out to her. She was walking through the school one day, and would you believe that she found herself face-to-face with her deceased father? Well, after she recovered, he told her, "Stop grieving. I'm fine."
Mm-hmm.
She has seen him two other times. Once in her house, and once I think upstairs in the house, and once downstairs, and he had the same message. She told me that if anyone had come to her and told them this story, she would have said, "Nah, I don't believe you." But because it happened to her, she's had the experience, and she's had a change of heart and change of mind that yes, these things do actually happen.
And I think it's such a blessing. I really, really do, because it lets you know that there's more going on in life than what we can acknowledge. And we all as human beings get very frustrated because maybe we're in circumstances we feel like we can't control, or maybe the world's going a little bit crazy like so many of us feel it is right now at this moment. And there is a rhyme and reason to things, and those on the other side frequently are there to enable us to have a harmony and an understanding in our lives. But it's not just people. You bring up, in under the A's, animals. And, of course, I've had a number of experiences. I know many of my listeners have with animals. And they're very, very profound. And you talk about a Jan Price in here who documented a near-death experience, and also that in that experience, her dog, who had died years earlier, was right there to greet her.
Yes. Out of all of the animal experiences I've heard about and read about and researched, hers is the most interesting for me, because the dog took her on a journey of his life on the other side, and
mm-hmm.
he was very, very surprised by that, and so was I to read that. But it helped me because, of course, you know, we've all had little animals that have crossed over, and
yes.
You know, having kids have had them. You know, we want to give them some encouragement without telling them a tale that they really are existing, and you know, I think it gives us hope. Our animals are like our family. And, you know, we don't want to lose them either. And we want to know that they're somewhere better, and that they're being taken care of, and that they're okay. So the fact that Jan Price wrote this story from her near-death experience, I felt really, really helped people. And I want people to know that, you know, if you have had animals and they're gone, that they're near you, they're around. Maybe you've hurt them. Maybe you've felt them. I had a friend who took me aside and told me about her little cat that had gone. He was with her for many, many years, and he was a smart, very smart kitty, and he died and or crossed over. And one day she was working in her garden, and you know, there's lots of stray cats out there, and she heard a cat meow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she looked around and she didn't see any cat, and she just assumed it was a stray somewhere going by. But then the next morning when she woke up, she found her little Bob, she called him Bob, on her bed, sleeping exactly where he slept, you know, all those years. And she called out to him, and he disappeared. And
mm-hmm.
Since that time, you know, she has heard him in the house. And, you know, there's a very thin veil between us and the next dimension. And I feel that they, you know, the animals are there, too, kind of watching over us, and they can see us even though we can't necessarily see them unless they will it, you know, but they're okay. And I think that's important for people to know too.
I agree. Another, excuse me. Sorry, I just got something in my throat there for
that's
just a
okay.
second.
You okay?
No, I'm fine.
All right.
There are a number of historical persons you meet and you talk about in the Encyclopedia of the Unseen World, Constance. One of them is Zoroaster, and you don't hear too much about him, but he lived centuries ago. And he really is considered by many the one that started the stories about angels.
Yes.
And this, he is historically quite interesting. Tell us a little bit about him.
I don't think many people are familiar with him. He's sort of a favorite character of mine because I, without getting too involved with religion, I really feel that he had a large influence on what we know as Christianity, and the angels that he seemed to have had contact with these beings, and he didn't call them angels in his language. It was in the Persian language. It was Ahuras, and he had the belief that God, you know, created all things and oversaw all things, and that he was a powerful spiritual being, just as most of us believe. But that God also had an adversary, and Zoroaster, you know, he had his own visions and his own insights, and I feel that these were given to him from the other side as a way to help us get on a path of spirituality. It was a very early time in human history. And I think that he, from the other side, just as so many of the prophets and other religious people, put us on the path of knowledge of angels, and that there was an other side, and that there is a spiritual realm, and that there is another world that we all exist in. He just came from a heavier place
mm-hmm.
than we do on our day-to-day lives. He was a pretty heavy guy, you know, but he had a lot of spiritual beings around him, and he gave them all names, you know, the angel of light and the angel of mercy, and he believed that there were guardians from the other side, you know, that watched over humankind and kept them on the right path and helped them to grow.
You have one person you mention in the book, Andrew Jackson Davis. Now, this was a 19th century clairvoyant and prophet, and he was born in Blooming Grove, New York. And he was a person that was known for predicting the future. Tell us a little bit about Andrew Jackson Davis.
Andrew believed that he was actually put here, like, you know, a number of what we call prophets, to help people spiritually. He had a number of psychic abilities and skills, and he wanted very much to use these talents for, you know, to help humans to progress spiritually, to overcome, you know, the negative, and kind of he wanted to help humans to raise the consciousness so that we could, you know, have a higher, more positive vibration and live a better life and you know, just kind of get up out of the,
mm-hmm.
you know, waddling in the war and, you know, all of the bad things that are of Earth. His mission and goal in life was to help humans, and he had the psychic abilities, and he wanted to use them for the good of all.
What I found interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
He was capable of kind of having out-of-body experiences. He could, you know, cross over and come back at will and kind of, you know, give us the information of things that he had seen on the other side, which is not the same as a near-death experience. It exists as an out-of-body experience. But I believe that before he ever came here, I believe that he made some sort of deal or contract to come in to help humans, just as there are so many people in the past that have. Sometimes when people come in with these strong psychic abilities, they reach an age in life, it can be 30, 40, 50, whatever, where they really kick in and they understand that they came here to help. That's who Andrew Jackson Davis was. And if you go to the book, you can read a little bit more about him being
mm-hmm.
clairvoyant and all of that. Yes.
Yes, in many ways, he was not unlike Edgar Cayce because he was able
yes.
to do medical diagnosis too. Genetic recall. Now, this is something that I really feel is so amazingly real. And you touched on that in the book. And this is a physiological phenomena, if you will, that I think is so intriguing to people. It's just a fascinating subject. What did you learn about genetic recall?
Honestly, I didn't learn about genetic recall until pretty recently, actually, and I almost fell off of my chair, you know, when I heard about it. I mean, we apparently are holding the past within us in our memories, in our gene memories, and some of the things that we are feeling and doing can be based on activities that our ancestors did long ago in past lives, and it's just sort of been imprinted in us. So I will admit to not knowing this as extensively as I could tell you maybe about a ghost, but certainly that does help us with, you know, our spirituality and our growth and understanding our own past. If you believe in reincarnation and, you know, coming back and our ancestors, you know, and what they accomplished can actually be imprinted in us in our genes. So that's spiritual in the sense that it's part of the unseen world, in that, you know, it's recorded there. On the other side, we have a whole spiritual library of our activities, of human activities from the beginning to the end, called the Akashic Records. But also, those activities can actually be carried within us. And if we are transgressed, hypnotically transgressed, we can actually pull those out and remember those.
I think it is a fascinating phenomenon. I remember a very famous author, Taylor Caldwell, doing exactly that. She went under hypnosis as to find out why she was having certain physical problems. And she was a very strong skeptic, yet she would admit that when she was doing her writing, she didn't really feel it was her writing the story. It was somebody else. And through the hypnotic regression, if you will, she got a lot of information that really just made so much sense, but in her logical processing of thinking, she said, it's all made up. Mm-hmm. It was really fun, but she was a brilliant, brilliant woman, and the hypnosis relaxed her enough where she could gain access, and I think that's true. But when you talk about a genetic imprint, so often there are situations with families, and I think of a situation within my own family where there was someone else born to a member of my father's siblings that he didn't know anything about, and it was as if there was a clone of my brother right there. Mm. And it's just incredible, thousands and thousands of miles apart, but those genetic imprints many times they're passed along, and sometimes they will skip generations and then all of a sudden show up. And this is really an amazing patterning that is carried forward within our physical DNA. And then in addition to that, we bring in our own particular package, my belief, depending on when we're born and what time of the year, et cetera. It all is fascinating, fascinating information.
It's fascinating, and it's interesting for me because I actually have some sort of memory that is not from this lifetime, and that is of me standing in a dark place, a dark area, in a light, and I'm speaking with someone who is like on a platform above me. And it's a very beautiful and good feeling I have in the light and to whomever I'm speaking with. And it certainly, of course, never happened in this lifetime, and it has been with me forever. Mm-hmm. And when I learned about the genetic recall, I just thought, okay, is this something from my past that's there, from someone's past that has been handed down? Is this memory from there? Where did this come from? So it's a mystery to me, but I'm, you know, it could be connected to such a thing.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, Constance, I know we're just about out of time here. You have a website, which is starseedmission.com. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yes, starseed, S-T-A-R-S-E-E-D, mission.com. This lady, Constance Victoria Briggs, loves the unique, the unusual, And she has done so much writing. I think if you went to her website, you would thoroughly enjoy the experience. And if you're thinking, yes, those holidays are coming upon us, if you're thinking about giving a gift to someone that has been interested in the paranormal, you might want this, what's considered an ultimate guide to the Encyclopedia of the Unseen World.
Oh, thank
Constance,
you. Very much.
Thank you very much for being my guest today.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget her website, starseedmission.com. There may be some things in there that will encourage you to explore your own unique experiences. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't
thank
go
you,
away.
Donna. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. My goodness, I want to give my appreciation to those of you in Alaska that I had the opportunity to meet and chat with, and also the reporter Julia that I had a chance to visit with while I was there. It was a marvelous trip. There's a magic about the state of Alaska. For those of you, if you ever have the opportunity to go, if you've never gone, this is a must-see. It is a place that has a magic all of its own. And believe me when I say that, I've been traveling there for a lot of years. Well, I want to let you know what's coming up on the show this week. Now, tomorrow we're going to be replaying a program on wireless radiation because I am going to be flying to New York City. I haven't figured out how to do a show from the air. It just isn't going to work. It's far too noisy on a plane, and it's just not going to happen. So when we get to that point where I can do it when I'm up in the air, then the show will be live from wherever, and that'll be a fascinating phenomenon when that occurs. But tomorrow we'll be playing the program that was done on wireless radiation. If you missed it, it's a must listen. You'll find the information very, very interesting, and you will be more informed, probably, than your next-door neighbor. On Thursday, from the Big Apple, we'll be talking with Ray Holman about the Healing Self, Healing Earth. This is a wonderful publication about how we can make a difference as individuals. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Abraham about what is a parent to do. This is regarding addiction, alcohol, drugs with teenagers. This is so important, and his perceptions regarding this are very insightful. This is a man that has worked with teenagers for a lot of years. And in our world today, it seems like you can't turn around without being bombarded with something that is going to make teenagers think that this is an easy way to take care of the challenges of life, which it is not. And it's something I think that's vitally important. So we're going to have those two guests, and then next week we've got a wonderful lineup. And if you want to find out more about the guests that are coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, all you need to do is go to bbsradio.com, which I know you're on right now. Go into the Donna Sebo Show and show information, and you will find all you have to do is with a tap of the button, you will be able to access all of the information about the upcoming guests. And you'll know about those subjects, perhaps maybe that you've never had a chance to explore, and you'll hear someone talking about that for your convenience. And you always have access to archives if you are interested in that as well. So that's what's coming up. By the way, phone lines are open now. You can call me if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of psychic insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's a toll-free worldwide number that you can call into. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I would be delighted to be able to know where you're calling from. Then relax, sit back, and just listen. I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of concern to you. I was quite surprised to learn about something that's going on in Afghanistan, and I'm not talking about the war. Many times when we get news, we are not made aware of circumstances that go on in everyday life. Here in the United States, we have the good fortune of having good sanitation and being able to have the opportunity to enjoy a lot of things that would be considered extreme luxuries for a good three-quarters of the world's population today. I'm going to talk to you about something that's going on in Afghanistan. We've got a caller, and I'm going to take that caller first. But this was something that was just amazing to me, and it brings home the point of how important good sanitation is, no matter where you are. Let me take this caller there. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Carrie, and I'm calling from California.
Hi, Carrie. Where are you in the Big C?
Oh, in San Diego.
Oh, boy. Beautiful place. I can't believe
it. Right now it's cold, but it's okay. Could be worse.
Okay, you got to tell me. What's cold in San Diego?
Oh, now I'm going to feel really bad. I guess it's like 69. I guess that's not horrible, but
Carrie,
it's cold to us.
That is balmy.
Yeah, it's cold to us, so I'm not going to complain.
I know. I just had to tease you on that one. I mean, I'm up in Alaska. The temps are getting down into the 20s, and before they know it, it's going to be down to zero, you know, or below zero in many places. So when I'm hearing you saying it's 69,
I shouldn't complain
at all. It's just funny. I'm just giving you a difficult time. Let's get down to business with you. First thing, Carrie.
Yes.
Okay, hon, let me stop for just a minute. We have a little bit of a time delay here, so we just need to take a split second of a deep breath when we pause so the other person could come in, okay?
No problem.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Did you have a specific question that you wanted to ask me, or do you want me to do a spontaneous first?
I do have a specific one, but if you want to do whatever it is you want to first, I'm totally open.
Great. Let me do that. First thing
okay.
that I'm watching in my mind is a lot of paperwork. And I agree with you. It'd be nice to be able to shred it all and not have to worry about it. The problem is that you're going to need to save a number of records because there may be an audit. So you need to be sure that you have everything in its proper file folder and just put it in a place in a garage somewhere and just label it so it's easy for you to find it. you're not going to have any problems with this audit, whatever it's going to bring it up. You just need to understand that if you keep your records in a place that's easy to access, have them well organized, no sweat. It'll all come together just very nicely. So this is something that may be coming up in a, well, I'm getting in 2 years, there may be an audit request, so just be aware. Also, what I'm looking at is you are not sleeping very well, and I think that you're very stressed over something, and this is causing you to toss and turn in a way, and you get agitated, and you need to be able to sit down and write out the concerns. Write them out so that they're clear, to the point, and be just right on top of it, and then you're going to see how you can resolve it. And especially when it's coming to dealing with balancing money. And you can be tighter than any Scotsman that was ever born when it comes to making a penny tango. So I don't have any problems with you in budgeting. And if you feel that you really need to have a tight budget, then do it. It's not a problem. Don't worry about other people being unhappy with it. Just do it. It's very simple. Just do it. And you're going to have the results that you want. What would you like to ask me, dear?
Well, it's so funny that you're saying all this because, A, I'm in the process of a move, and my whole focus is on making sure that all my paperwork is in order and easy accessible to me. And my sleeping patterns haven't been good because I am supposed to be moving, yet I don't know where I'm going to get the money in order to do all the things that I'm going to have to afford to be able to do within the next month. That was my question, is do you see some job coming to me soon or some sort of opening in this?
The move is going to be done. There may be a delay with the move, but if you're prepared, it will flow smoothly. Economically, you'll just have to pull in the financial belt, and I believe you're going to be able to make the move on a lot less financial cost level than you have expected.
Got you.
As far as the job goes, there are two opportunities for you to have some work. They're not going to be high-paying jobs, but they will be jobs that will enable you to generate an income that you will be comfortable with. You're not going to feel like a Rockefeller, but you are going to have some dollars to work with. What kind of work are you looking for?
I'm in advertising and sales.
Are you going to be staying in San Diego, or are you going to be leaving San Diego?
The move was only going to keep me in San Diego, but
all right.
It's a temporary move. I then have to do a real big move in January, and so that could go anywhere from there.
You are going to find that there are those people that would be happy to have you on their team, but it's not going to be in a genre as you've known before. So keep your options open. Keep your options open. Eventually, I think you're going to have a business of your own. I think you're going to work as an independent consultant. And that's something you're really going to enjoy. But that is not right now. So I'm looking at an environment, I believe it's associated with retail, that I think you're going to have a working position in. I don't think it's permanent, but I think that's what you're going to have, something associated with the retail industry, and that will work well for you.
Got you. So I should just stay open?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Got it.
All right, dear. Much success to you, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks a lot, Donna. I appreciate your help.
Oh, you're more than welcome. This is a great day. This is Donna Sebo. I'm here in the Pacific Northwest, tomorrow on my way to the Big Apple, New York City, and we're taking a break. We've got another caller, and we'll be back.
And remember, you can call in too at 888-815-9756. Caller, stay on the line. We'll be right back with you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Let's go to our next caller who's been waiting patiently. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Sandra, calling from Riverside.
Hi, Sandra. Okay, the first thing I'm looking at with you is a feeling like you're going backwards. You're backpedaling. As I watch this in my mind, I want to say, no, you're not backpedaling. What it is you're keeping a momentum. I would say instead of backpedaling, it's treading water. You are keeping a steady momentum right where you are, and you are evaluating things around you. You're in what I consider a supportive environment that is going to serve you well. You will find that you're going to be reaching out to more and more individuals, but synchronicity seems to be demonstrating itself in your life on a regular basis. And I am watching situations coming into your environment, and you'll say, isn't that amazing? This person just happened to be here when I needed them, and I am looking at some working opportunities that are going to manifest in that way and manner too. It's really quite fascinating, and I think that you are going to enjoy what you will be experiencing. There's a lightheartedness that I'm feeling around you that is enabling you to be more flexible and open to opportunities, but at the same time, you're very grounded. You're nonsensical, you're straightforward, and you are really anxious to move forward with some change, and I'm seeing the beginning of some choices and decisions that are going to propel you forward. And I would say by the middle of February, you're going to be feeling very good about your working environment. You're going to be feeling very good about some new associations that you make on a personal level. And I think you're going to be able to look back and reflect on the various experiences you've been through for the last 2 years, realizing that it took all of those experiences to get you to where you're going to be in about February or March. So you're on track. Just keep your focus, and I think you're doing well. What would you like to ask me, Sandra?
There's a person that I have a close working association with. We don't work in the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into them in a public setting away from the work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemed very detached, very distant, very almost so standoffish. And I wondered if our work association has been, if they've decided it's come to an end.
I don't know that that is necessarily the case. I believe that when your paths crossed, they were not, as you said, not in the working environment. So their whole approach to you would be much different. It's one thing when you're interacting with someone on a professional basis. It's another thing when you are
caught off guard and you are in everyday representation, everyday life as it is. And I think that they really don't associate the two. I think it's one environment is one environment, and that's what they work in, and the other environment is that environment, and they don't like to cross the two. So I don't think I'd be too judgmental on this.
Okay.
And just be glad that you were gracious and interacted with them and were pleasant, which you were, and just leave it at that. Just leave it at that. I think you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful day. Donna Siebel here. If you'd like to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Now, don't forget, tomorrow is going to be a replay of the programming that we did just a short time ago on wireless radiation. This is a program, if you've missed it, you'll have a chance to listen to it. You won't be able to call in and chat with me because I'm going to be on a plane flying to the Big Apple, New York City, one of my favorite places to visit. And by the way, for those of you in New York who are listening, I do have a small window of time open for private appointments. And if you will just call my office, 800-872-8852, I will be able to chat with you and have that time available. Again, it is a very small window. I'm going to be appearing at the National Publicity Summit. I'm going to be meeting on Thursday morning with people who have written books. There's going to be 100 of them there. And I did this, I've done this before, and it's just a marvelous experience to meet with all kinds of people who have the incredible ability of being able to tell their story in a very special way. We've got a lot of good people in this world, on this planet, that are trying to do what they can to make a difference. And so I will have a chance to meet them in person. And then you'll be hearing about many of them on the show. It probably will be, they'll be booked after the first of the year because I'm already starting to book my guests for December. It's amazing how fast time flies by. I want to get back to the topic of Afghanistan quickly before I do. If you wanted to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. When I read this information, this was put out by the Associated Press. And it's about Kabul. Now, we always hear about the war and the various things that are going on, but we don't hear too much about the everyday life of these people living in a part of the world where there's really very, very little sanitation. Well, there is a cutaneous leishmaniasis. Yes. Now, that is a mouthful, believe me. Try to say it five times, and you wouldn't be able to get it out correctly. But more, well, the first time is a miracle. If you tried to do it more than once, it'd be just tying up your mouth like you wouldn't believe. This is a disease that I mentioned. It's transmitted by a particular sand fly. Now, it's extremely tiny, much like, I think, a no-see-um, and it requires the blood of humans or animals so that its eggs can develop. Now, there is medication that can treat this, but when these flies bite people, and usually it's the women and children that get it the worst, because they will go inside whatever dwellings they have. And, of course, sand is everywhere. And these sand flies proliferate because of sewage and garbage and just, you know, just ugly, ugly situations. And so they bite the women and children much more than the men because the men are not necessarily inside contained areas where the women and children are. And this particular parasite, it leaves this disease, and I've got a picture of a little toddler in front of me, and it is awful. This child had been bitten multiple times. They bite you all over the body, but it showed the face, and among the Afghanistan people, when anyone has this horrific purplish stuff that comes out on their face, they shun them. And the women and children become disfigured from these bites, and they're shunned socially. So they said that the drugs are so expensive to be able to treat people over there that if they had netting that would keep these tiny sand fleas out, it could make a big difference. They say 12 million people are infected with this parasitic disease worldwide, and there's about 1 million to 2 million new cases annually, and they come out between the months of June to September. And it brings to the awareness that how important it is that things are kept clean, how important it is that we process and recycle garbage, trash, that our sewage systems be up to date. There are so many things that are in life, different life forms, that will create absolute havoc if you don't keep things in order. There is a disease that was at one time a destroyer of cattle. And maybe someone says, well, I'm a vegetarian, it doesn't make me any difference. Well, when you have something like this that affects cattle, it's called rinderpest. People starved by the millions. They found that this was a virus, and it was called rinderpest, and that's the word for cattle plague in German. It doesn't infect humans, but for untold numbers of years, in Asia, in Europe, and Africa, it wiped out cattle, water buffalo, yaks, and other animals that were needed for food, for their milk, those that did the plowing, and the pulling of carts. They were a form of transportation. All of these creatures were horrifically affected. You know that the mortality rate for the animals was higher than the smallpox rate for humans? Now, this is something to date they have not seen a case since 2001, and they've been able, in their minds, whoever has figured this out, that it's been eliminated. But we always have in life these variables that can come up and affect us if we don't pay attention to certain things. It's like tuberculosis. People feel that that's been eradicated, but it hasn't. Tuberculosis is still very strong, and it's usually passed around today, not to the degree that it used to be. But today, now it's so virulent because a lot of what would have worked in the years past, TB has mutated and has now taken on a different form. So this is an ongoing battle, and that's why keeping things clean, having things properly stored, just be aware that all of this still counts. We take so much of this for granted in the United States, but when we start getting sloppy, when people are not paying attention to this, they think that they don't have to wash their hands or keep things clean or take care of trash and make sure it's disposed properly, we end up having a resurgence of this. It's an interesting thing. Oh my goodness, I've looked at the clock. We have to go. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great day. I'll be talking with you day after tomorrow from New York City. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.